This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good Friday to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Boy, we got a lot to get to because the NFL is heading into week number 18, and there's a lot of sorting out we're going to be doing. We're going to give you the playoff scenarios for a bunch of teams. We're also going to get into the college football national championship game, Georgia and Alabama part two. We know the Crimson Tide winning championships under Nick Saban. It's almost like a yearly thing that they seem to do. But Georgia hasn't won one since 1980. It has been a very, very long drought. And it is a long drought for a team that puts a lot of emphasis on its football program. They have watched teams around the SEC win titles. They have seen a team in its own state win a title in Georgia Tech, but since they have had this drought. So we'll talk about the angle about Kirby Smart and that team is dealing with as they go play Alabama for the second time this season in Indianapolis on Monday night. But we are going to get more into the NFL, and the Antonio Brown situation is now reached a fourth stage now? We have the initial take off the jersey, storm off the court, storm off the field in New York, and then we had some sort of explanation, then Instagram posts, and now we're into the Buccaneers' response to all of this, in which yesterday they finally said, no, that's enough, we're releasing him. So when Bruce Arians said in his press conference on Sunday, he's no longer a Buck, they didn't do anything at that point, and they didn't do anything on that point until yesterday. Yesterday, he was still technically on the roster until they released him. Well, now they're telling their side of the story. We heard Antonio Brown's side of it on Wednesday. And on Thursday, the Buccaneers responded to all of the allegations that Brown and his lawyer put out in that big statement. You remember about how Antonio Brown had this injured ankle and the Buccaneers forced him to play on it. And everyone knew that he had a hurt ankle, but he finally said he couldn't go. And they were yelling and screaming at him. And he just lost it because he is hurt and he wants to play, but he can't play and he wants to give it his all, and the Buccaneers don't treat him right. Well, the Buccaneers have their say. We'll get to that coming up next, plus the playoff scenarios for everybody, including teams that are just looking to get better seating. That's coming up as we continue. And also, one other note from college football that we're going to get to. Could Jim Harbaugh be heading to the NFL? That's been a conversation over the last couple of days. We'll dive into that aspect as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, if you want to reach the show on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, more on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers situation. They did release Antonio Brown, and now they have their say. And listen, I know this story gets a little old. It's been like 4 or 5 days that we've been on it since all week. But I do want to bring up the Tampa Bay side of things, because yesterday I spent a lot of time on the Antonio Brown side of things when he released his statement with his lawyer that said, here's my grievances, right? I was hurt. I was asked to play hurt. They didn't understand I was hurt, and it was frustrating because I let everybody know I was hurt, and they ignored it, and I didn't want to put my ankle at risk. And it blew up. I blew up. But in the end, the Buccaneers are at fault because they knew I was hurt and forced me to play hurt. Well, the Buccaneers responded to that. They did release him yesterday. By the way, it was a series of Instagram posts about Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's trainer. He does this thing where he sends something out where it's like, okay, his lawyer and him set out a very nice statement about his side of the story. And then he gets all strange again with Instagram posts and things like that, where you just go, oh, man, just like your case is okay, but then the reason that you lose credibility is when you do this other stuff with social media. Well, the Buccaneers said, look, he received treatment on the ankle. He was listed on the injury report leading up to the game. He was cleared by our medical team. And never once in the game did he indicate to anybody, his coach, his medical personnel on the team, he never indicated to anybody that he was hurt. It wasn't until Bruce Arians and the offensive team, the offensive coaches, told him to go in during a certain circumstance, and he refused. That was the first moment, the Buccaneers are saying, that they noticed that there was a problem because he had been playing in the game. And they didn't notice anything about his ankle because, again, he had been cleared. And so he never indicated to anybody on the team, at least again, according to the Buccaneers, that he was suffering from this ankle injury. They just asked him to go in. He said, "Nah, I'm not playing." And Bruce Arians, who was, you know, who said he did not know the nature of his injury, sort of said, "Well, you know, they kind of knew it was injured, but there was a clearance." So when he said he didn't know there was an injury, and Antonio Brown said, "Well, you knew I had this injury," Arians is clarifying this by saying, "Yeah, we knew you were dealing with an ankle injury, but then you were cleared. Once you're cleared, I didn't know during the game you were still suffering pain from your injury." So let me clarify. Antonio Brown is saying, "I was hurt. You guys knew I was hurt this whole time, yet you made me play. And then when I was getting more injured and suffering more pain, I told you guys I didn't want to play, and you guys were forcing me to go out there." And the Buccaneers are saying, "Yeah, we knew you had this ankle issue. We had it checked out by the medical team. They cleared you to play. You did play. Then we asked you to go in with no knowledge that you were hurt. No knowledge that you were suffering pain from the ankle, and then you just refused to go in." That's the Buccaneers' side of things. Arians said, quote, "At no point during the game did he ever ask the trainer or doctor about his ankle. That's the normal protocol. We go through protocols during games. I was never notified of it. Obviously, that was a disturbing thing. We're looking for him to go back into the game." Now, what the Buccaneers are saying, and Arians is saying, is that Antonio Brown was getting angry because he wasn't getting targets. All right, now Brown is saying, "No, that's not true. It was about the ankle." And the Buccaneers are saying, "Well, at halftime, you were kind of angry about the targets. And here's the other reason." Because earlier in the week, before that game against the Jets, Brown and his agent were trying to get some of his incentives guaranteed. There was a $2 million of incentives that were on the table. They were trying to get that guaranteed. And the team said, no, you got to reach those incentives and that's it. So Brown was feeling a little bit more pressure to get those in order to get the incentives, the $2 million. He needed 28 catches and 255 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns from meeting that criteria. So he's dealing with an injured ankle. He's not getting the targets. He's going to lose out on $2 million. Bam. There's this story. It's enough to make, you know, the reason, again, do I think this is a big story from the Antonio Brown situation? No. But do I think this is a big story from how the Buccaneers are going to react to it? And the answer is yes. We are now getting into the point where we are heading into the postseason. And this is the last thing you want to be answering about, dealing with, talking about if you are the Buccaneers. Now, the good news is they have a quarterback in Tom Brady who can push aside a lot of these distractions and just go out and play football. And maybe that rubs down all to the other team, the teammates, that this is what's going to happen. Look, we're going to go out there. We're going to play Carolina this weekend. And then we go to the postseason. And whatever is on track for us, we're going to concentrate on that. And I think there's some good leadership on that team that can do it. Yes, Antonio Brown's departure from the Buccaneers means there's one less person to go to that Brady trusts in throwing the football to. But nevertheless, don't get me wrong, I think that this is necessary for this team to go forward in the postseason.
And let's face it, Brady has made a habit out of throwing it to guys you've never heard of.
That's true. I remember Chris Hogan in the playoff game against the Steelers. Yeah, who I didn't know who he was. And all of a sudden, he was torching the Steelers secondary. So I've seen this play out many, many times. But again, if I'm the Buccaneers, this is the last thing I need to be dealing with, is this constant questions about, okay, yes, we knew he was hurt. Yes, he was cleared. Yes, he, like, over and over again. But at the same time, the organization needs to clarify this up, and then everybody just needs to get focused on the next game, which for them could affect some seeding, but nevertheless, it doesn't really matter. They're in the playoffs, and then off they go to the postseason in next weekend. So they've got to put this in the rearview mirror. But again, I said this yesterday. I thought what Antonio Brown and his agent put out, I thought was very – it made sense. It seemed logical. And what the Buccaneers are saying, that's logical too. That makes some sense as well. I think the problem is this. If you're Antonio Brown, if you send out a statement like that on Wednesday, then you say, hey, look, this is my side of the story. And if that was it, then you have like a legit grievance and maybe just maybe you get this resolved. But the more crazy you act on social media, like at one point he put out a copy of a text message on Instagram that included his bank information. Like he was that sloppy because he shared these texts with Alex Guerrero about getting some money back because he wasn't working with him anymore. And Guerrero was like, fine. And then Brown gave him his routing number and check and bank account and then posted that on Instagram. Like, slow down a little bit, Antonio. Like, slow down. Think things through. And I think that's the problem. Look, Tom Brady helped Antonio Brown get in the back into the league, right? He went to the Patriots in 2020. He signed a one-year contract. 2019. Right after he was released by the Raiders, the Patriots signed him to a one-year deal, right? He was released a couple of weeks later after this trainer accused him of sexual assault. So the Patriots just parted ways with him. But it was enough of working with Tom Brady that Brady wanted to bring him to the Buccaneers in 2020, and that's what they did. He caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl on this one-year contract. They bring him back for another one-year contract, and now he's out of a job. He believes he's going to get another job because he said so that in the statement that he was going to be ready to work and it will be booming. But if Tom Brady, after he threw that pick six to Logan Ryan against the Tennessee Titans and said, you know what, I think I'm done. I think I'm done with this. I'm going to leave the NFL and I'm going to retire. Would Antonio Brown be in the league today? Now, on the one hand, you'd say no. But on the one hand, you'd say, well, maybe. Talent does win out. But after a while, it's a short group, right? It's a small world in the NFL. And all of a sudden, every single person is going to be talking about dealing with him on these kind of levels, right? So much so that you go, don't need the hassle. Don't need the hassle. And that's where Antonio Brown's problem lies. Now, if Tom Brady had retired and not gone to Tampa Bay, and there was no way for Brown to use an angle of Brady vouching for me to get into this league, would he have gotten a job? He does have an agent that would have been on the phone all the time, calling all the general managers, all the teams at every level, even in the season where teams might be short of a wide receiver, begging for an opportunity for his client. So you don't want to discount that, right? But also, the more that this piles up, the more that teams go, I can't do this. I'm watching the Buccaneers this week. And this is the only story that's coming out all week long as they get ready to prepare for the playoffs next weekend. And this is the deal. This is what they're dealing with. Answering who knew what when. Do I want to be the team that's dealing with that? Do I want the team that wants to be answering for yet another outburst on this guy who's left two teams in the span of 3 years? I mean, well, basically he forced his way out of three teams, right? The time that the Pittsburgh Steelers said go home and he decided not to show up for their Week 17 game against Baltimore in December of 2018. Then with the Raiders, where it was just a mess from the start, cryotherapy, frostbite, not reporting because of the helmet problem, he didn't get his helmet grandfathered in. He posts, he puts a post out wanting to be released. He challenges Mike Mayock. The Raiders cut him before they even play a game. He's on the Patriots. He gets cut almost immediately after the league sort of says, hey, there's an investigation into you. He's throwing stuff out of balcony towers. right? All of this stuff makes a team go, no, I'm not giving this guy a chance. And the perfect reason is from Sunday to now, this is the only conversation that the Buccaneers are having as they head to defend their Super Bowl title. Bruce Arians isn't being asked about things about the team in as much as he's being asked about this drama that includes now another player that's not on the roster anymore. So if I'm a New York Jets, Jacksonville, any team that's looking around going, how do we get better? How do we improve? This is not a guy I'm picking up the phone and calling. Because I don't want to be the next victim of Antonio Brown's antics. I watch the Steelers have to deal with this. I watch the Raiders have to deal with this. I watch the Buccaneers have to deal with this. And I'm not going to be the latest. Because I'm not going to be the general manager that is going to hear from my media and my fan base, see, we told you so. Right? At least the Buccaneers got a Super Bowl out of the deal. Right? The Buccaneers got a well-behaved Antonio Brown and won the Super Bowl. But if I'm an organization that is going to be picking early in the draft, but I want some other talent on my team that I can get at a bargain basement price, he's the last person I'm calling. And that's the problem. All right, coming up next, we'll go to the AFC and NFC playoff picture and give you an insight into who needs what to make it into the playoffs and who needs what to move up or down in the seeding. That's next as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Coming up, we'll get into the Jim Harbaugh rumors that he may leave Michigan for the NFL. Yeah, they're just rumors. There's nothing really solid, but it seems to be catching steam the last couple of days. But this weekend is the final game of the regular season, and like any other final game of the regular season in the National Football League, there are playoff scenarios that are at stake. So here is your AFC playoff picture. And it's really complicated because there are five teams that have not clinched the playoffs, but could clinch the playoffs. So the Cincinnati Bengals are in. They have won the AFC North. Kansas City has won the AFC West. Tennessee has won the AFC South. Now, Buffalo and New England are both 10-6. The Bills currently own the tiebreaker, so both of them are in a position to win the division. Baltimore is at 8-8, and they're playing the Steelers this weekend, who are 8-7-1. And 8-7-1 is slightly better than 8-8. But the Bills are not eliminated from the playoffs, because if they win and Indianapolis loses and the Miami Dolphins lose, who are playing the Patriots, then the Ravens would clinch the playoffs. So they need the Patriots to win. They need a Chiefs loss and a Baltimore win. And they would make the postseason at 9-8. The Bills need a win or a New England loss to clinch the division. That's very simple. Cincinnati can actually clinch the number one seed. The Bengals need a win and a Titans loss to Houston, a Kansas City loss to Denver, and a New England loss to Miami. They can also get a Buffalo win and Tennessee loss and a Kansas City loss, and they could be the number one seed. Now, I bring that up because wouldn't that be amazing if the Cincinnati Bengals were the number one seed in the AFC? Because it goes back to what we have been saying all season. Despite Kansas City's seven-game win streak that was snapped by the Bengals, or at times when Buffalo looked on paper like the best team in the NFL, the AFC was wide open for the first time in a long time. That conference had always been dominated by the Patriots, and then lately by Kansas City. And for the Cincinnati Bengals, it's an outside shot because Tennessee's got to play Houston. And Kansas City has to play a Broncos team that's out of the playoff running. And Kansas City has beaten Denver 12 straight times. The last time the Broncos won was the year they went to the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning at quarterback. But Cincinnati's still, it's still on paper as an outside shot of being the number one seed. Indianapolis can earn a playoff berth with simply a win against Jacksonville. That's all they need.
Unlikely.
A very likely win for the Indianapolis Colts. They would go to 10-7. They can also win if the Chargers lose and the Steelers and Ravens tie.
There you go.
They can also get in if the Chargers lose, Pittsburgh loses, and the Dolphins win their game against New England. Number of scenarios for the Colts. But if I'm Frank Reich, I just tell my guys to win.
Just win,
just
baby.
Just win the game. We're not getting in at 9-8 with losses for other teams. We're not rooting for anybody but ourselves. Kansas City can be the number one team, get home field advantage through the playoffs in a first-round bye with a win and a Titans loss. Or if the Titans tie, Kansas City would win that too. The Raiders can get into the playoffs simply with a win over the Chargers. Both teams are 9-7. Both teams on the outside looking in right now. One of them's getting in. They can also get in if they tie the Chiefs and Indianapolis loses to Jacksonville. Or they can get in simply if Indianapolis loses and Pittsburgh loses or ties. The Chargers, win or tie, they are in the playoffs. The Patriots, they clinched the number one seed in the first round bye, and this would actually be amazing, wouldn't it? To be honest with you, I think everyone would go, I quit. Get me out of this conference. I'll join the NFC West, even if on an East Coast team. Patriots win, Buffalo loses, Kansas City loses, Tennessee loses. So they need three really good football teams to lose this weekend. And this is the most unlikely scenario because the Patriots would be the number one seed if the Bills lose to the Jets, the Chiefs lose to the Broncos, who, again, 12-game win streak against Denver, and the Titans lose on the road at Houston. So don't be planning a first-round bye, Patriots fans. You're not getting next weekend off. But they would clinch the division with a win and a Buffalo loss. So that's kind of cool.
That would be amazing, too.
That would be great, too, with a rookie quarterback. They won the division over Buffalo.
You think of Buffalo? I'm piggybacking off what you just said a few minutes ago. If that was to happen, would Buffalo go, hey, NFC West, we'll play our home and away games at your stadium?
Absolutely. We just need out of this division. Just get us out of this division. We can't seem to
hold
on.
We get one season, that's it? A COVID season?
A COVID season, and then the Patriots are right back on top of this thing? You got to be kidding me.
Get me out of here.
The Steelers clinch a playoff berth with a win over the Ravens, and Indianapolis lost to Jacksonville. And the Vegas Chargers game does not end in a tie. It would be my luck if that actually occurred.
No, wouldn't that be great?
I still can't believe that I cannot celebrate the Steelers making the playoffs until the end of the Chargers Raiders game.
And can we give it up to the NFL real quick for having the foresight of having the Chargers and Raiders be the final game of the season?
Yeah.
How did they know?
Was that flexed in?
I don't know if that was flexed in.
Okay. I might have been.
Might have been.
Yeah. But still, that's pretty awesome. A win and get in game at the end, on a Sunday night, that's fantastic.
And I'm hoping for the chaos.
Me too.
I'm hoping that, you know, the Steelers do their job.
I want that game to go to overtime.
I want the Jaguars to beat the Colts just so we're all sitting there talking about, are these two teams going to try?
I know. I want to totally get it. I will sweat that one out if it's an overtime. I'll be like, I don't care. Kick a 70-yard field goal. I don't care. Just get it. Somebody win
the damn game.
Get a safety. I don't care. The Tennessee Titans at Houston. Titans can clinch the number one seed with a win. They can clinch it with a tie and a Kansas City loss.
All right, question for you.
Yes?
In regards to the Titans. Does Derrick Henry play this weekend?
Well, that was the question we asked yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's getting more and more like...
He's active. He's off the IR.
I've heard both things. I heard that you want to get him, you know, get him into game speed. But at the same time,
I mean,
if you can get that first round bye without him,
yeah,
then you just add two more weeks of practice and working out.
Yep.
Where you really are like, oh, God, if we could just... We should beat the Houston without him. And if we can just do that, because they control their own fate. They don't have to wait for anybody. They just go beat Houston. They get a week off.
Yep.
And if you can just do that without Derrick Henry, you go, you know what? Let's just do it without Derrick Henry.
And I mean,
if you lose Derrick Henry in the first 5 minutes of a playoff game, that's the price you pay, right? You lose him in the first 5 minutes of a game against Houston and you can't get him for the postseason, you'll be like regretting that all
which should
long.
Be a winnable game for them.
Absolutely. Totally winnable game. We'll get to the NFC coming up and also hit those Jim Harbaugh rumors, because there are some things to think about him probably exiting Michigan if that were to be the case. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but there might be some reasons why. We'll discuss that next on Wake Up Call.
to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue Sports Map Radio on a Friday. I got a busy hour number two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and then we're going to go all the games. Final run of games, full slate. So the importance of these games. We're kind of hitting it up now, going through the playoff clinching scenarios. The NFC is a little bit more easier because a lot of teams have clinched. And there's only two teams on the outside looking in, and both kind of control their own destiny, if you will. The Saints need a win against Atlanta. The 49ers play the Rams. If the Niners win, they're in. If the Saints win and the Niners lose, they're in. But as far as seeding goes, let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. They will clinch the NFC West. They are 11-5. If they win against Seattle and the Rams lose to the 49ers, that would give Arizona the division. A team that one time had the best record in the NFL, slipped a little bit on the back end of the schedule, one time had a three-game losing skid, but they would win the NFC West. The Rams can clinch the division with simple win against the Niners or Arizona losing to Seattle. Either one of those happens, the Rams are your NFC West champions. As I mentioned earlier, the Saints at 8-8, still alive. They are on the road to face Atlanta. The Saints win, and they need a San Francisco loss to the Rams. And then the Saints at 9-8 would make the postseason. The 49ers get into the playoffs with a win, that's it, against the Rams, or the Saints lose. If the Saints lose, then the Niners can lose. They would get into the postseason. It is that simple. Green Bay is the number one seed, getting a first-round bye. The Cowboys won the East. Tampa Bay has won the South. And there you have it. That's the NFC. The AFC is a lot more fun because, as you probably heard, I didn't even mention ties or the possibility of ties affecting anything. I'm sure there are, but there's a very simplistic way the NFC playoffs are formulated, whereas in the AFC, five teams are still duking this one out all the way to the end of the season. So there you have it. I am really excited for this weekend. I am really excited to watch the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Indianapolis Colts, setting up my Steelers to beat the Ravens to make the playoffs with no tie on Sunday night. Ugh. God, if they had just beaten the Detroit Lions, I wonder what their scenario would be right now. If they had just not tied the Lions, would they be in a little bit better shape? I don't know.
And with the win, though.
Yeah. Well, they have to be a win, right? Yeah. If they had just simply won that game against a bad Lions team, what would be their scenario?
I think
the Ravens and get in, still need the Colts to lose. I don't know.
I don't know, but it almost feels like it would be a win and they're in scenario.
Right. I think so. If I'm serious, if somebody figures that out for me and says, hey, if the Steelers had just beaten the Lions, they would have gotten in. Like, because, the Steelers can beat the Ravens this weekend and, watch the Jacksonville Jaguars get beat up by the Colts and be out of the playoffs. And then the Steelers would go, wow, I wonder if we would have gotten in. If we, instead of being 8-7-1 or 9-7-1, if we had been 10-7, would we have gotten in? Like 10-7 would have put them near the top of the AFC North. So, that's the price you pay. But I think I'm going to have fun this weekend. It's going to be a blast. I mean, I want the Steelers to make the playoffs, of course, but I'm content with the season that has gone kind of backwards for them. It hasn't really gone their way. They need a little bit of dose of, let's fix this. Let's fix the offensive line. Let's get better defensively. We got one of the best defensive players in the game. Let's get him some help. Let's get some, let's tighten things up. And obviously, we need a quarterback. So let's go from there. Jim Harbaugh could be leaving Michigan and heading to the NFL. That is a rumor that has been going around. It is a rumor that usually comes up because people want it to be a rumor. And it's not necessarily a rumor based on any evidence. Like there's no text message that's been uncovered or talks within the league about it. It seems to be getting a lot of legs because of the way Michigan played against Georgia. Now, look, whenever there's a college coach that has had success in the NFL and back in the college game, there's always going to be a thought that that individual would go back to the NFL. Pete Carroll did. He was coach of the Patriots, coach of the Jets, went to USC, had a lot of success, eventually found his way back into the NFL. That happens. And in Jim Harbaugh's case, he's had success with San Francisco, leading them to a Super Bowl. But he's had a lot of success at San Diego. He's had success at Stanford. And now he's having success at Michigan. Where I think this rumor comes from, though, is looking at the landscape and putting all the pieces together as to exactly what Jim Harbaugh faces while he is at Michigan. Michigan is not a, oh, let's just have a good season and hopefully beat Ohio State type of school. It is a, how do we win a national championship kind of school? Now, granted, beating Ohio State is great. And they certainly, as we talked to Jerry Palm yesterday, there was certainly a feeling within that Michigan team, or at least the way it looked, that they were pretty content with just that because they didn't show up at all against Georgia. A lot of that is a credit to Georgia, but a lot of it's credit to, you know, got to be blamed on Michigan. They just did not look like they were ready to go toe-to-toe with the SEC. And that's one of the other reasons why this rumor is gaining steam. If you are the head coach at Michigan, like Jim Harbaugh, what is on your plate of things you have to accomplish? Well, every year you have to beat Ohio State. That's the number one goal. Even if you have a season where you're losing two or three games, you still have to find a way to beat Ohio State. That's the top goal. That's the number one thing. You hear they go to these basketball rallies and they say, it's 328 days until we face Ohio State again. That's how big of a deal it is. Second thing you got to do is you got to win the conference. All right, if you can beat Ohio State, you probably have a good enough team to win the conference, but you never know. You're supposed to try to beat Ohio State even if you have three losses and are out of the running. But that's the second thing. The third thing you have to do is compete for a national championship, to get in the playoff and be competitive in the national championship. And the other problem with that is that he just got a huge taste of what is that's going to take by losing to Georgia like he did. And knowing that Alabama's not going anywhere, Georgia's not going anywhere soon, the way this transfer portal is going to be working, the way NIL is going to be influencing the game, there's a lot of uncertainty. And the problem is that the new uncertainty has not taken away any of the expectations, right? So there's no understanding from the fan base. And here's the thing about college football now. When NIL deals are now being directed by boosters and people who support the program, you really do not have a lot of leeway with them when you lose games with these athletes. You hear these stories about what's going on at Texas A&M. They got this big recruiting class. There's boosters offering a lot of money for NIL deals to get these recruits to go to College Station. Now, what if Jimbo Fisher, who's making a lot of money there, fails to turn that recruiting class into a national championship contending team? It is not just my recruits and the way I pick these players and the way I bring these players in and the way I coach them. It is now going to be boosters going, hey, by the way, I just gave that kid $1 million. And we're what, 7-4? Like, that's what you're going to be dealing with now. It's one thing when a booster is like, I just wrote a check for $25,000 for a luxury suite. It's another for them to say, I'm paying for this player to come here. I'm the one that gave him the deal to come here. That is my problem with the way this is that there's no guideline for this. There's no rules for this. People have kind of said wild, wild west. That's kind of a cliche, and it's absolutely true. And if you're Jim Harbaugh and you know what it is it takes to win in the NFL, you've done that in the NFL, you've won in the NFL, and you look at the college football and you go, hey, I got to go through Ohio State every year that recruits great. I got to go through Georgia and Alabama and whatever SEC team is on the rise. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can absolutely achieve the goals around here. But I know how the NFL does business. I know what the NFL can do. And I know what the NFL, what it takes to get in the right free agents and the right system to go to a Super Bowl. I might be more attracted to that. I got you a season in the playoff. I've got you a win against Ohio State. Maybe there's an attractive offer down the road where that can take it. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we wrap up this hour. Busy couple of hours as we go through the games in the National Football League. We're also talking national championship coming up on Monday. Stick around at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. So I want to say this early. I don't know if these rumors about Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL are true or just kind of just sort of a conversation piece.
Or him just trying to angle for a bump in pay?
I really don't think it's coming from him, to be honest with you. I just think it was kind of created. Like, when you watch them play, if you're a writer in Michigan and you watch them play Georgia and you're like, you know what? This team is miles away from this, from what's on this field. Like, we're never going to win a national title. If I'm Harbaugh, maybe I go to the NFL. Oh, look, there just happens to be good NFL jobs available. Like, maybe that's where it came from. I think, look, here's the thing. When you make a lot of money in anything, right? You're an actor, you're a businessman or whatever. Sometimes what you do things for money, but sometimes you do things because there's just something that you feed off of that gives you excitement, right? Like, so Gordon Gekko is a perfect example of this on the movie Wall Street. Remember in the movie Wall Street when he says, why do you have to wreck the business? Because it's wreckable. Like, Gordon Gekko was doing it for the money, but he was also doing it for something else, right? He was also doing it because he liked playing the game. He liked playing the game of making money, right? Like, if you just handed him a check and said, I'll give you $100 million if you go away from what you're doing right now, you just disappear. You get on an island and you disappear. He would probably say no, because even though that's a lot of money, I like playing the game I'm doing. I like being in this, you know, acquiring businesses and breaking them up, and that's what I like doing. So we always, and this is for those, a lot of us who look at people in that income bracket, we always go, they have so much money, they don't care about that. But you're not looking at it in the right lens. You need to look at it through the lens of what drives them. They get paid a lot of money, but what drives them, right? Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't have to make any movies anymore. Why does he? Does he do it because he needs the money? No, he does it because that's what drives him. What drives him is making good movies, making, you know, movies that are challenging, movies that are fun, movies that maybe are controversial, maybe movies that are just a blast. Who knows? With the right people. Jim Harbaugh doesn't need the money, but Jim Harbaugh wants to be at the top of his profession, right? Like, Jim Harbaugh wants to coach in a business, whatever it may be, where he can be the top of his profession. And I think what he did at Michigan, he's been at Michigan a while, and he's got Michigan playing in a very good game, college playoff game. But because they got shellacked, does he go, do I want to go back to the drawing board on this and build a team every year that may or may not be able to compete with this level of football that's here in the southeastern part of the United States?
Yeah, it was his only hurdle or accomplishment, beating Ohio State.
Right. So, and again, here's a guy that has gone to a Super Bowl and was close to winning a Super Bowl. And so he doesn't have that, he has that knowledge of going into the NFL and building a team and working through free agency and dealing with agents and dealing with the GM and going to the draft and all of those things. He knows how to do that. And he's taking a team to Super Bowl. So you could see him go, look, I beat Ohio State. I got to the playoffs. I got shellacked. I got to go back to the drawing board. I got to beat Ohio State again. And they're good. They're always strong every year. That's a big challenge. Then I get to this playoff thing, and I got to go up against Alabama and Georgia and whoever else the SEC may spit out every single year. I don't know if I want to do this. I know I could go to the NFL, and in a couple of years, I think I could turn a team around. Maybe that's where that rumor is coming from. All right. You wanted to tell me about Henry Winkler.
Well, yeah, because during one of the breaks, you were telling me that you've found happy days.
Okay,
once
so
again.
I'll just tell this story real quick. I was telling my wife that I like to have things in my DVR that I just go to, right? So I have shows that I like, and I find them on repeat on like TBS or MeTV or whatever it is, and I'll just record them. And I'll go, look, I just want a bunch of them because when I have nothing to do, I'll just throw one of these two episodes on. And I said to my wife, I said, I really miss Happy Days. I used to really like Happy Days. Even after Richie left and the Fonz was, jumping sharks.
It was just Scott Baio.
Right, it was Scott Baio. I said, I really liked that show when I was a kid. And I said, I think there's somebody's got to be airing Happy Days somewhere on our cable, right? So I searched it, and I found it. And now I've got like 10 episodes of Happy Days to dive into. It didn't take that long. They're like airing them on overnights. And I've just grabbed a bunch of them. But then you said Henry Winkler was trending?
Yeah, he was trending the other day. And I think this is a playoff of Betty White passing away.
Okay.
Because, you know, everyone loved Betty White. She was kind of the unofficial America's grandma.
I would say that, kind of.
See it that way?
Absolutely, sure.
You know, everyone loved Betty White. She could do no wrong. Well, people are calling for, hey, can Henry Winkler now be America's grandpa?
Oh, that's not bad.
Can we give him the Betty White treatment and, you know, try to force him to, or, you know, try to start a petition to have him host Saturday Night Live, or, you know, just have him being like weird commercials. I don't know. I mean, just, you know, basically take the Betty White journey.
He would fit that role. I think he'd fit that role great.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, you know, that one makes sense.
Such a cool actor, because when I watch Happy Days and he's the Fonz and he's like, hey, Richie, I tell you what, you see that blonde over there? I'm going to go kiss her on the lips.
Yeah.
And then when he talks as an actor, he's like, and what I did with the Fonz was I put on the leather jacket and I started to act a little tough. And then that character just kind of came out of me. I love it. I love when Henry Winkler talks about being the Fonz, because it's so un-Fonz-like.
Yo, God.
At all. Completely.
It's like 1,000% opposite.
Yeah, completely opposite than the character he played on Happy Days. It's so great. That's a good point. Yep, America's grandfather, Henry Winkler. That wouldn't be too bad. All right, Good, the Bad, the Dumb, coming up in hour number two as we continue with Wake Up Call.